This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And first up, we've of course got Popit Popit Parliament because, well, we have the five-day Parliament sitting and we're bringing you the highlights from day one Rakyat.
So today was the second day of this special Parliament sitting and it follows, I think, quite closely the vibe of yesterday, which is to say shouty and disagreeable in spots. So we're starting off with another fracas as opposition lawmakers tried to compel an answer from Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan on the revocation of the emergency ordinances, which was, you may remember, announced yesterday to everyone's surprise.
So if you haven't caught up with the issue, yesterday the law minister said that the emergency ordinances had already been revoked as of the 21st of July. Many MPs were, of course, outraged at the way that this annulment was announced, given that it was really out of the blue and should have been debated in Parliament.
So today was brought up again. Several opposition lawmakers argued that they really only wanted Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin to answer one question, which is whether the Agong consented to the revocation of the emergency ordinance. Here is Puchong MP Gobind Singh Dio.
Adakah atau tidak apa yang berlaku pada 21 hari bulan Julai diperkenankan oleh Yang Tuan Agong? Adakah ianya mengikut prosedur yang tertera di dalam Perlembagaan Persekutuan? Ini satu perkara yang cukup penting dan saya minta supaya ia ini dijawab, kerana apa yang kita ada hari ini dan untuk 2 hari atau 3 hari yang akan datang adalah penerangan berkenaan dengan ordinan-ordinan yang telah pun digubal melalui proklamasi tersebut, yang kononnya telah pun ditarik balik, dibatalkan, tetapi kita tidak ada senarai ordinan-ordinan mana yang telah pun dibatalkan, apakah kesan dia dan sebagainya. And I think that's what rakyat hendak tahu. Sekiranya telah pun dibatalkan, kenapa kita tidak maklumkan? Kenapa tidak ada diletakkan di meja setiap ahli parlimen supaya kita dapat tahu secara spesifik bila ianya dibatalkan, siapa membuat keputusan, adakah ikut peraturan dan kesan dia terhadap ordinan-ordinan itu, khususnya kepada rakyat umum di luar sana.
You just heard Puchong MP Gobind Singh Dio.
And still on the emergency ordinances, Deputy Speaker Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said acknowledged that as an MP herself, she also had the same reactions after hearing the Law Minister's remarks. But then she said that the Speaker had ruled that the Law Minister would only answer questions relating to the annulment this coming Monday, which is of course the last day of this parliamentary sitting.
Saya pun sebagai ahli parlimen pun dalam situasi yang agak sama. Dan saya percaya ramai peguam di sana dan kalau kita tengok social media bertanya tentang soalan yang sama. Tapi memandangkan kita adalah sistem parliamentary demokrasi, saya dimaklumkan oleh Tuan Yang di-Pertua bahawa Yang Berhormat Menteri Undang-Undang akan memberikan penerangan dan jawapan kepada perkara ini, tapi
pada On Monday itu.
Now, of course, many of the MPs weren't happy that they would have to wait until Monday for clarification when the Law Minister had really brought it up so casually yesterday. Sepang MP, Muhammad Hanifah Maidin, asked whether the annulment was gazetted in the first place, and if so, where was the proof? He also said that this whole thing has created a lot of confusion and uncertainty for prosecutors handling compound cases.
Ada dua perkara. Pertamanya, adakah persoalan perkenan Tuan Agong? Seperti mana kata oleh YB Pucuk tadi, adalah jelas berdasarkan kereta cengpu dan banyak kes lain mengatakan bahawa mesti daripada Datuk Agong. Itu jelas. Itu pertama. Yang keduanya, katakan saya buat satu assumption bahawa adanya perkenan Datuk Agong. Adakah telah diwartakan? Tidak ada bukti diwartakan. Jadi, bermakna sekarang ini statusnya adalah undang-undang ini tidak lagi dibatalkan, undang-undang tidak lagi dibatalkan. Jadi apa kesannya kepada kes-kes yang berada di mahkamah, yang mana ada orang didakwa di mahkamah? Jadi pendakwa pun dalam keadaan bersalah. Nak proceed ke tak nak proceed? Jadi ini saya rasa akan menimbulkan ketidaktentuan. Uncertainty. It's not good for the country. Dan juga it's not good for the pelabur. Itu pertama. Yang keduanya, berdasarkan 1503, bukan saja ordinan yang perlu dibatalkan, tetapi juga proclamation, iaitu proklamasi. Tidak ada satu pengumuman pun daripada pihak menteri semalam bahawa proklamasi telah pun dibatalkan.
That was Sepang MP Mohd Hanipah Maidin. And still on the issue of compounds, Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil brought up that more than 2,200 compounds had been issued after July 21st, which, as a reminder, was supposedly the date when the emergency ordinances had been revoked. So now the question is, how many of those compounds are valid? Here's what Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil had to say.
Sebanyak lebih dari 2,200 compound telah dikeluarkan. Banyak daripada compound-compound ini lebih daripada nilai 1,000 pada semua yang telah dikompaun. Jadi sekiranya kita tunggu sehingga hari Isnin, apakah yang akan berlaku seperti yang yang Mohd Jelutong sebutkan tadi? Jadi kita tak boleh tunggu sehingga hari Isnin. Kedua adalah apabila Yang Mohd Kota Baru semalam mengatakan bahawa kabinet telah membuat keputusan untuk batalkan ordinan, ia memberi implikasi bahawa telah ada perkenan. Jadi saya pohon Yang Mohd Kota Baru untuk menjelaskan adakah Tuanku telah memberi perkenan pada ketika Yang Mohd Kota Baru menyatakan bahawa kabinet telah membatalkan ordinan-ordinan ini pada 21 hari bulan Julai. Dan adakah ordinan-ordinan ini sekiranya diwartakan boleh backdated? Tak boleh.
That was Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil. And for context, one of the emergency ordinances, if you remember, raised the maximum penalty for SOP violations from 1,000 ringgit to 10,000 ringgit, so tenfold for individuals, and up to 50,000 ringgit for corporate bodies. So if these ordinances have in fact been revoked, then any compounds issued from July 21st theoretically should not exceed 1,000 ringgit.
So, in response to all this, Deputy Speaker Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said told the MPs that they should direct these queries to the Speaker himself. Here's a little clip of the MPs urging the Minister to respond.
Jawab!
Yeah. Ada perkenalan dari Agong
ada
atau
perkenalan,
tidak?
Ada perkenalan, tak ada
no.
Saya masih
memohon. Agong.
Jawab sajalah.
Saya masih memohon untuk menjawab pada hari Isnin sebagaimana...
Orang terkesan!
Bapak polis,
jawab!
So guys, we did tell you right at the start that MPs were very single-minded today. They really wanted one answer from one person. That was them trying to get it. Now, a little later on, when it was Speaker Dato' Azharun's turn to preside over the House, MPs went on this quest and demanded an answer as to why the Law Minister's answer had to wait until Monday. Here's what he said.
Yang Berhormat ingin saya ikut peraturan mesyuarat. Marilah kita ikut aturan mesyuarat. Aturan mesyuarat mengatakan aturan-aturan urusan tu akan dipublish sebelumnya. Dan perkara mengenai darurat ni, hari Isnin ni. Oleh sebab itulah, saya nak melancarkan proceeding ni supaya kita cukup-cukup masa untuk membahaskan sesuatu perkara tu. Jadi, hari Isnin ni saya pun telah beritahu semalam di Dewan ni dan juga selepas tu saya pun dah beritahu Menteri Undang-Undang. Beliau perlu menjawab kesemua persoalan yang dibangkitkan oleh pihak pembangkang, oleh semualah, oleh ahli-ahli Yang Berhormat semua mengenai apa yang diperkatakan oleh beliau semalam. Jadi, mari kita tunggu hari Isnin ni.
Mas Speaker, ini soalan yes or no aja, yes or no aja, yes or no.
That was, of course, Azhar Arif-Harun, Speaker of the House. You might have heard a little bit of dissent there. It wasn't just from the opposition MPs. Noor Omar, for example, who's a Barisan MP representing Tanjung Karang, said it would be a waste of time to debate the emergency ordinances in the current parliamentary sitting if they've already been revoked. Now, Noor is also a member of the Special Independent Emergency Committee and that advises the Agong on when the emergency should end.
Kalau betul lah, the right ni telah di-revoke, no point kita nak bincang lagi dah.
Tak perlu bincang dah.
Dan yang ketiga.
Tak ada guna dah ni
semua. Saya nak sebut. Saya datang kuasa bebas yang dilantik oleh Ketua Agong mengenai tamat darurat. Kalau ini bagi saya lah, tak gunalah saya dilantik sebagai datang kuasa khas oleh darurat. Keputusan nak sambung darurat ataupun
ribut Yang Berhormat bangkitkan hari saya. Yang Berhormat bangkitkan hari Isnin ni lah Yang Berhormat.
Bukan. Ya,
well, you heard the speaker. They'll only discuss this on Monday. So we'll all have to wait with bated breath until then.
I mean, I did hear the speaker, but I also heard a lot of other voices.
The visual was, I think, even better than that. And this is one of those rare times when I'm going to say, go look up the video. Don't just listen to it on radio.
I have to say that in general, this parliament sitting, I'm not trying to downplay our own reporting on this and the beauty of audio. But if you think the Italians have a hand lock on hand gestures, have like, you know, have the signature trademark on it, I think we're really giving them a run for their money with this parliamentary session.
Something about the masks add to it. I'm telling you, there's just this air of drama about everything.
Yeah, people are trying to gesture across the hall.
And I think it's because you can't see their face, right? So they're trying harder with their hands.
They're emoting. Mm-hmm. That's a significant amount of time spent talking about emergency ordinances, which I would like to remind you at this point, have not actually been debated because it's not been submitted as a motion. So instead, that amount of time is really spent on asking why that hasn't even happened yet. So that's where we are. Now, moving on to what is supposed to be the main focus of today's session, public health and action to address the pandemic. The issue of contract healthcare workers has drawn the attention of several members of parliament. Kuala Selangor MP and, of course, former Health Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad emphasised his concerns on the rise of cases and the Hartal doctor contract movement. He pointed out that the doctors and frontliners who have sacrificed so much during the pandemic should not be punished. Instead, they should be appreciated.
Saya meneliti daripada perkembangan terkini yang melibatkan pekerja-pekerja kontrak doktor ini dan juga nurse kontrak yang sudah pun berlarutan bertahun-tahun. Melihat daripada perkembangan ini, kita dalam undang-undang, dia ada probation period. Tetapi saya nampak daripada kerajaan pada hari ini, bukan sahaja dilayani, disantuni mereka yang menjadi frontliner, yang berkorban jiwa mereka dan keluarga mereka, tetapi mereka diambil tindakan, disiplin. Saya nak bersekali dengan sahabat-sahabat saya semua, iaitu kita ada perutusan probation period ini, perlu kita hargai mereka dan tindakan tidak boleh diambil pada mereka dan kita tidak boleh berkompromi dalam soal disiplin. Ini bukan soal disiplin. Ini soal hak mereka. Dari Kuala Selangor, satu lagi. Saya nak beritahu tentang allowance critical. Allowance critical ini sebenarnya telah pun ada tetapi mestilah dikaji semula kerana pengorbanan mereka yang telah mereka lakukan dalam COVID-19 ini dan saya harap kerajaan ini jangan jadi wadan merapu tantu arah yang menyebabkan kerajaan dan negara ini hababrok jadinya semua. Terima kasih.
Sokong, gapa, sokong.
Kuala Selangor.
That's very impassioned sounding, Dr. Zul, I must say. Adding on to the Hartal doctor contract movement, he also emphasized the importance of hiring doctors, saying that he thinks that this movement is reasonable, that this should not affect the process of appointment in the medical industry and to be given a chance to proceed with their postgrad studies. He also added that appointments should be made fair to all.
Datuk Andy Petua, saya perlu menegaskan betapa dalam hal ini Paling tidaknya, seperti yang dituntut oleh MMA, seperti yang dituntut oleh Hartal Doktor Kontrak ini, Skosmas dan yang lain itu, kita perhatikan apa yang mereka mahukan, Datuk Yang Pertua, hanyalah satu yang sangat menasabah. Ya, antara lainnya, memastikan proses pelantikan mereka itu, pemilihan mereka itu telus dan adil berdasarkan merit. Keduanya, mahukan supaya kontrak doktor itu diberikan peluang untuk menjalani program postgraduate mereka sama ada dengan Masters of Medicine ataupun parallel pathways di luar negara. Dan ketiga adalah untuk mendapatkan layanan yang adil dan seksama. Datuk Yang Pertua, atas perkara ini, saya mohon supaya kerajaan, khususnya Perdana Menteri, dalam tweet saya semalam, saya menyebutkan supaya jangan sampai sekali, saya sebutkan, for all that it's worth, I implore the PN government not to punish or take any disciplinary action on all doctors involved in Hartal doctor contract ini. They are exercising that democratic right in a civil way as a last resort. Merayu kemaslahatan kebajikan mereka dilindungi. Justru jangan ada pihak berkuasa yang mengambil tindakan ke atas mereka dan jangan jadikan mereka itu dalam pandemik ini seumpama PPE dibuang, diguna pakai, dibuat sebagai consumable sebagaimana gown PPE itu diperlakukan begitu. Saya ingatkan perkara ini dan ini menjadi satu noktah penting untuk saya bangkitkan karena kita konsisten dalam memperjuangkan hak mereka dan insyaAllah kita mahukan tindakan ini dan YBM Kiat masih ada lagi di sini walaupun tidak menyebut apapun bersabit dengan harta Dr. Contract semalam yang mereka lakukan demonstrasi itu. Saya minta beliau mengambil perhatian atas perkara ini dan semua yang disebutkan oleh ahli-ahli yang berhormat yang lain tadi.
You just heard two really, as you said earlier, Shamila, very impassioned clips from Kuala Selangor MP, Datuk Seri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad. Now, just one more update to close off today's Pulpit Pulpit Parliament. And it's a lighter one, an intriguing one, actually, because Guam Usang MP, Tengku Razali Hamza, of course, Kudi, has reportedly requested for his seat in the Dewan Rakyat to be moved to the independent bloc. Now, this MP has been outspoken in the past about his disapproval of Perikatan Nasional, but still it's a novel move. He's essentially saying, I don't want to sit with you anymore.
I sort of love that. The I don't want to sit with you being taken to new heights and new spaces. So based on reports, he wrote a letter to the speaker expressing that he was never a supporter of the Perikatan National Government. And there's a quote from the letter that says, I humbly request to be moved to an appropriate seat which accommodates the spirit of BN, UMNO, my voters, UMNO members and the people of Malaysia, so I will not be perceived as a supporter of this Kerajaan Gagal. So, those are the updates that we have for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow. But we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of today's proceedings. Do you want more drama or perhaps less drama? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
Earlier, we were talking about Parliament, its second day at Dewan Rakyat. So we were asking you for your thoughts. And I wanted to start with a bit of a correction, really. And thanks to Koo, who messaged in to say that one of the clips we played earlier on the Hartal Doctor Contract movement, the first one we played, in fact, was actually not Dr. Zul. It was Kapa MP Dato' Abdullah Sani Abdul Hamid.
Yes, and I think the important thing to take away is firstly, thank you so much for the correction. It is very important that we attribute correctly. I'm just going to say on a lighter note, I blame the masks. I think it's the masks and the fact that we're all back and overexcited. But in all seriousness, I think what I wanted to say is what I like is therefore that there are more passionate voices in the Dewan talking about healthcare. Now, we thought that was Dr. Zul, partly because it was an area of special interest for him, right, as former health minister, as chairman of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. But in fact, you know, the Hartal doctor issue, the rise in cases, the worries over our healthcare capacity and how we're treating our frontliners, I at least find it heartening that there's more than one MP, right? Or you know, that there's a significant number of MPs, hopefully, in the Dewan who actually care about this.
Yes, and I think that's partly why it's disappointing that so much time is being devoted to something as I think that shouldn't take up as much space. This question of when was the emergency revoked? When are you going to account for it? When can we ask questions? I'm not saying that they shouldn't question it, but just the amount of time and the amount of debate that went into it. Koo does go on to say, I'm utterly disappointed that the government is taking a couldn't care less attitude, dismissing pleas from MPs to extend the session. This just shows that they are arrogant, not wanting to admit their mistakes and not sincere to work on problems to help the rakyat. More importantly, just putting on a show.
So this definitely mirrors a lot of the messages that we're getting, right? So for example, we have Stephen who says, the ministers haven't been venting for 6 months. Let them be. maybe this shouting will improve their mental health. Who knows, right? But jokes aside, this kind of shouting doesn't do much in making decisions. Repetitively shouting over the same item isn't called debate. It's just not productive. Imagine this being your office situation every day. And, you know, Stephen, Koo, I think you both raise a really excellent point about the tone in which these sittings have been conducted, at least so far. I think that perhaps we're going into it in a very fractious state to begin with. The MPs have had a lot of time to stew, shall we say, because there has not been parliament. At most, there have been social media, there's been press conferences, but there hasn't been the actual forum of parliament to talk about these things, which is why I think we're seeing, like we've been talking about, this pent-up energy. But the inability at the moment to listen, or the lack of desire to actually listen, I think is quite troubling. When you watch the sitting, honestly, it is deeply stressful for that very reason. Imagine that this is your workplace, because people are just yelling.
Yes, and I wanted to highlight how, and this was something I saw a lot of people talking about yesterday on social media, about Pamathang Pauh MP Nurul Izzah's speech, where she was one of the more measured ones. She was one of the calmer ones. And a lot of people were pointing out how equal number of people were actually sharing that. Drama isn't necessarily the only thing that drives attention or draws the rakyat's hearts or eyes. I think sometimes just talking about substantive points can be useful. Is useful.
Did you happen to see a clip yesterday of opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim talking about clusters that arose from workplaces and referring to data from the Ministry of Health, and basically that resulting in a shouting match? And I think that, look, there's a lot of background to that exchange. I don't want to downplay the very long sort of long-running issues that would have led up to that exchange in the first place. But I think that this tells you something about also the cult of personality and the ability for us to have an actual exchange. Because if you're talking about COVID-19 and public health, and we're talking about workplace clusters and bringing up facts and figures then result in sort of this big snit, I think that's difficult. And this leads to that question, like you said, about delivery, but beyond delivery, reception, whether or not after something has been delivered, it is received and actually responded to.
Well, Kalai doesn't seem to have much faith. Their message just says, more drama is okay since no constructive outcome can be expected from these sessions. I dearly hope not. I hope something comes out of this.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm not hopeful when you have something as important as the emergency ordinance being debated or being properly clarified on what is going to be the last day of this sitting. And with the cases being what they are, with Parliament only supposed to open properly in phase three, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how productive this can really be if important issues aren't able to be discussed at a quicker schedule or on a quicker schedule than what we're currently seeing. We also have Boyi suggesting maybe we can save Malaysian money by selling all the chairs and microphones in Parliament, since most of the MPs love to stand and shout. I believe we could save even 1,000 ringgit from that.
Add that to the list under open the doors, which has been the other thing that apparently they can't seem to figure out. Yes, is standing required? Is shouting required? I'm really not sure.
I don't know what's... I think that at the moment, it's a mixture of all the things we've been talking about and also the desire to make emphatic points.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody seems to be standing and everybody seems to be shouting. I'm hoping, and honestly, in previous sittings, we did see a dip in this sort of, shall we just call it energy? We saw a dip in this sort of energy the longer the sitting wore on. Now, with a 5-day sitting, I don't know whether we're actually going to hit that rhythm, but we'll see.
Keep those thoughts coming. Have you been following Parliament? Would you like more or less drama? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, coming up after the 6 p.m. news, we'll be looking at, well, really something that's happened now. An activist is facing charges for a social media post. And so we're going to find out more about that and talk about the importance of transparency and the role of whistleblowing.
Yeah, so first we'll be talking with Amnesty Malaysia to get some background on this situation involving activist Heidi Kwa. After that, we're going to talk about the culture of whistleblowing in Malaysia and whether or not fundamentally we see the value in it, right? And therefore give it enough protection. And lastly, the laws, whether it's the laws in terms of protecting whistleblowers or the kinds of laws that we see used in levying charges against people who whistleblow. And I think that it's important to mention, as you did, the social media post, because you may, in fact, have found out about this situation through a social media post as well. There has been, at least on among my circles, a huge amount of people sharing Amnesty Malaysia's social media post. And I think that there is this larger question about whether or not our culture of raising these issues or trying to stymie these issues has caught up to the internet and to social media and the way it can spread.
And that's something we've been seeing in practically every incident that sort of pops up in this space, right? When people are questioned or when questions of freedom of speech come up, it's often social media where it happens first, or the sort of call to arms is put out first. So those are some of the things we'll be talking about later, but we'd like to hear from you. Do you think whistleblowing is important? Call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. That's coming up on Inside Story, but first, some music.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.